Anyway, we're just about to rejoin Dave and Ben, who are over at Kegs. But before then, let's hear from Simon, who has had a go at the experiment. Hi, Simon.
Hello.
What did you find?
It actually did work.
Well, what do you mean?
It doesn't make you wet if you tap it four times.
Okie dokie. Well, let's head back and find out if you're right. Stay on the line. Guys, what's the answer?
Welcome back to Kitchen Science. Now, for this experiment, you need two cans of fizzy pop, and we're going to shake them up as much as possible. We've got our two lads from Keg School here, and they're still shaking their cans up, so they should be really well shook up now. Give them one last final big shake. And now, both at the same time, I want you to put them in the sink. And Dave, I'll let you lead them through what's next.
So you probably want to point them away from you at this point. OK, so now, Bryn, I'd like you to hit the top of that can quite hard, about four times. OK, so now I want you to open your cans. Henry first.
Fuzz everywhere, loads of liquid coming out and it's all going down the sinkhole.
So we've wasted quite a lot of pop with that one spilling everywhere. Let's see what happens to the one that got tapped.
Well, actually nothing came out. It was just a tiny bit of fizz and it didn't even come next to the rim, so I think it works.
So, Dave, clearly tapping the top of a can saves you from a bit of a sticky mess and from wasting some of your drink, but why would that happen?
OK, if you come over here, I've got a couple of clear bottles of lemonade so you can see what's going on. So, Bryn, if you'd like to shake this up. And if you look at the side of the lemonade bottle, what can you see, Bryn?
The bubbles are just sticking to the side.
Yeah, that's right. So when we shook it up, we made lots and lots of bubbles, and quite a lot of them are still stuck to the side of the bottle. Now, Henry, I want you to open that bottle, and while you do it, watch the bubbles very carefully.
The bubbles are all coming up, and they're getting hot up.
It's not been our day today, has it? Mainly your day. It's been your day for soaking children.
Okay, so it's really hard to actually start forming a bubble in a bottle of lemonade. But once one's there, it's very easy for it to grow. So if you've got a load of bubbles already started from when you're shaking it up, sticking to the sides of the wall, when you open it and release the pressure, it's really easy for those to grow. So they can get much bigger really quickly and make the amount of liquid in that bottle get hugely bigger until it spurts out everywhere. Now, what we're going to try with the second bottle is we're going to do the same thing, but just try tapping it on the floor a few times and see if it makes any difference. So, Henry, do you want to shake it? That looks good. So now what I want you to do is pick it up and hit it on the table a few times.
Okay.
Just gently.
Bubbles are rising up to the top when they're unsticking from the side.
So all the bubbles are coming unstuck from the side of the bottle and they're rising up to the top where there's a patch of air at the top.
Yeah, that's the idea. So if we just keep hitting it on the ground until we dislodge most of those bubbles.
Can you see any bubbles on the side now?
No, none.
So now, Henry, if you'd like to open that gently.
Some bubbles rose to the top, then it didn't go anywhere near the top of the bottle.
So you didn't get squirted on?
Nope.
So, Dave, how come we shake one bottle up and we open it and everybody gets covered in lemonade, and then we shake the next one up but we hit it for a while and the gas comes out but no water? Why was that?
Well, because all of the bubbles have managed to come up to the surface. If the gas at the surface expands, it'll just hiss out. But because there's no bubbles inside to expand and blow the lemonade out the top, you stay dry and everything's fine.
So because all the gas that's under pressure is now in the top by the opening, and there are no bubbles under pressure down under the liquid, it means that when you open it, the pressure's released, the gas expands, but instead of pushing the liquid out of the way to get out, it just all comes out itself.
Yes, there's still lots of carbon dioxide dissolved in the liquid, but there's nowhere for it to form bubbles, so it doesn't expand.
So it stays as dissolved carbon dioxide instead of coming out as a gas?
Yeah, that's right.
So what do you think of that then?
Well, that was quite fun, getting some lemonade into my system. Yeah, the sticky part wasn't as fun as the other parts, but still, it was nice.
So will you be tapping all of your cans of pop from now on to make sure they don't squirt out everywhere?
Definitely. I don't want any more fizz over me.
Well, I hope nobody at home is quite as sticky with lemonade as we are here. But that is all we've got time for from Kitchen Science today. So, from Dave Ansell.
Goodbye.
From myself and from our wonderful helpers, Henry and Bryn, it's...
Goodbye.
That was so cool because you often hear that trotted out, but you never know whether or not it's really true, whether you should believe it. So also, well done, Simon, who tested it. He was calling from Braintree, said it was true, and he was absolutely right. So thank you to Henry and Bryn, who got wet in the name of science at King Edward VI Grammar School in Chelmsford.
It's good to know, because I always do that, and it's nice to know. I feel vindicated now. Anyway, we've had our teaser running all day, and we want to know who developed the magnitude scale that earthquakes are measured by. And our winner is from Bielefeld in Germany, and it's Christian Mertes, and he says it was invented by Charles Francis Richter and Benno Gutenberg, and they developed the Richter scale in 1935.
Oh, it's not called the Richter whatever then.
Well, it used to be called Gutenberg, but apparently it used to be called the ML scale, so Richter is relatively
sort of usurped the true crown.
Yeah, he got in there.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Next time, it's our science Q&A extravaganza. The entire hour of The Naked Scientists will be devoted to answering your science questions, and the wackier they are, the better. So please send them to me now, chris@nakedscientists.com, and do also drop us a line, even if you haven't got a question, just to say hi, because we love hearing from you, especially if you're in some remote and very exquisite or tropical part of the world. And do also consider dropping by the Naked Scientist Forum, that's nakedscientists.com/forum, which is a thriving hive of scientific discourse. Go and check it out, it'd be great to see you. Have a great week, thank you very much for listening, and thank you to our production team, Azzy, Ben, Dave, Sabina and Charlotte. See you next time.